Psalm 23, we're going to read the whole of the psalm, and then we're going to go over into 1 Peter and chapter 5. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank thee and praise thee that thou hast given us an infallible word. Your word calls it a more sure word of prophecy. We thank thee, our Father, that the theme of thy word is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come tonight to look at him as our shepherd, we pray that we may be blessed in understanding the wonder of the care and compassion that thou dost have for us. So be with us now, we pray, and bless us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know whether it's good news or bad news tonight, but I have my notes with me. I told you the last time I spoke on this that I had left my notes at home. I wondered whether I would make it to 8 o'clock, and I preached on after 8:15 and felt a little guilty when I had done so. But I want to recap a little of what we covered. Looking at Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I suggested to you that the only people who could claim the Lord as their shepherd are those who know him as their Savior. And the moment he becomes your Savior, he becomes your shepherd. Remember, we looked at the relationship and how it came about. John 17, Jesus speaks to the Father of them that he has been given by the Father. And it is, to me, a tremendous comfort to know that in eternity past, the Father gave me, gave you, gave the redeemed to the Son. And then in John chapter 10, we noted that we became sheep of this shepherd when he purchased us. It says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I suggested to you that we remember that a shepherd, when he buys a sheep, he puts his mark upon it. And we are marked in two ways. First, we are marked with the blood, for we were purchased not with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. You know, I want to stop for a moment and emphasize that to you. Man could never have devised a way whereby God would leave heaven and come down to earth and go to a cross to purchase me. And you know, you can think of the death of Christ in its application. But to me, the most glorious is what the Apostle Paul says, and we can join with him, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a most wonderful thing. And it's the basis of the relationship. No wonder the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we look at that in a few moments. But when we look at the shepherd, we find that, the shepherd's psalm, we find that the psalm is very beautifully divided. He's talking about the shepherd, and then he's talking to the shepherd. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And he's speaking to the shepherd. He says, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he's speaking about that great hope that one day he will be with the shepherd. I have said on many occasions when I have read those words to people in one-on-one situations that when I read the last verse of the 23rd Psalm, it's almost as if someone stops David in his track and asks him a question. David says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And it's almost to me as if someone says, ah, David, but what's going to happen after all the days of your life? And David says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What an example we have in the person of our shepherd. First of all, he is a loving shepherd. Remember, I suggested to you that the 23rd Psalm comes between Psalm 22, which speaks of the cross, and Psalm 24, which speaks of the return of the Lord and the entering in of the Lord in his kingdom. And there in between is the shepherd's psalm. And it's almost as if the Lord is saying, look, from the cross until I come again, I love you sufficiently to be your shepherd all through that period of time. All through that dispensation of grace, I am the shepherd to every one of my people. But I want to digress a little this evening, just for a few moments. I have a book that I have enjoyed reading and read on many occasions. It's a book called New Testament Church Principles by Arthur Clarke. And Arthur Clarke, speaking about the government of the church, He reminds us that the word shepherd is very prominent. He says, the Lord has set up two forms of leadership in His church, namely overseers, that's bishops, and ministers, that's deacons. The former guide the local assembly, the latter serve it. Governments are to be distinguished from other gifts. That is, administration must not be confused with ministry. And then he says this, the term overseers, bishops, elders, or from the word presbyters or presbyteros, refer to the same person. The latter points to their age or spiritual maturity, the former to their work. Not all aged men are elders in the above sense. And then he goes on to explain that the word elder is the word shepherd, the word pastor is the word shepherd. And he says, pastors in assemblies are invaluable. Pastors of churches are unscriptural. Brother that I met once wrote a book against one-man ministry, and much of it I agreed with. He called it No One Shepherd. I asked him, why didn't you write a book called We Have a Plurality of Shepherds? Because you see, that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that every man set aside by an assembly of God's people to be an elder is a shepherd of the sheep. That's why we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And he comes to verse 2, and he says to the elders, feed the flock of God. And if you look in your margin, if you have a margin in your Bible, and there's a little note to that margin, it will say that the word he uses there, feed, is the word shepherd. The same word elder. The same word pastor. And he's saying, look, Jesus is the great shepherd. And he calls him that. And he calls him the chief shepherd. But then he turns to the elders and he says, you're the under shepherds. You have got to follow the example of the chief shepherd. And he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The feeding of the flock of God. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 20. Verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, why did he say that to them? He says in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He says, beloved, I'm leaving you. I want to remind you that God has made you shepherds. And he gives a very beautiful designation. He says, you've got to, first of all, shepherd your own souls. And then you've got to shepherd the flock over which God has made you, and he uses the word bishop, which is oversee. And then in the very next verse, very next words, he says, he has made you overseers to feed or to shepherd the church of God. And he says, the reason I'm emphasizing the need for shepherds among the flock is because there are going to be those who come in with false teachings. They're going to be literally like the wolf going into a sheepfold. They are literally going to tear the Lord's sheep apart unless there are shepherds there to lead and to feed and to protect. Now the Lord is the shepherd. He's the great shepherd. Peter calls him the chief shepherd, and the word there is the one to whom all other shepherds are accountable. And God takes the shepherding of the sheep very, very seriously. You don't believe that, beloved. You go home tonight, take out your concordance and look up the word shepherd in the book of Jeremiah. Look up the word shepherd in the book of Ezekiel. And hear what God says to the shepherds of Israel, to the elders of Israel, who were not shepherding the people of God. And the things that God has given, let me read this to you. Speaking about function, because eldership and shepherding is a function, it's not an office. Christ himself is chief shepherd of his flock. And the elders are under shepherds. In these passages, the word feed means tend as a shepherd. Let me stop there. You remember the conversation between Peter and the Lord Jesus in John 21? When three times Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? To read that in our Bible, it doesn't come out very clearly. The literal translation of what Jesus says to Peter when Peter confesses his love is, first of all, feed my lambs, feed the babies of the flock. You know, beloved, as I have grown up in the things of God and been involved in the work of assemblies and churches, I have far too often seen a division between the older brethren and sisters and the young people. Something that ought not to be. I'm glad I don't see it here. But the responsibility of those who are mature in the faith is to encourage and to teach and to feed and to tend the flock of God, the lambs. And then Jesus says, when Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you, then Jesus said to him, feed the growing sheep. Not the lambs, but the growing sheep. And then on the third time, when Peter said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And the literal translation is, feed all of my sheep. Don't leave any of my sheep untended, unfed, uncared for. You see, when we look at Psalm 23 and we hear what the Lord has to say, he has given to us, and let me say this to you, not only to elders, but to each one of us, that we should have a care one for the other. That we should bear one another's burdens. The Apostle Paul says that when one weeps, we all weep. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. There is a family of God. Well, the best way I know to express it is in the words of the hymn that I learned many years ago. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family that folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear. Why? We're members together in the family of God. We're part of the flock. We're part of the flock that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to be tended and tending one another. Then it says, not only is the word shepherding, there is the word watching. I don't know about you, but it brings me great comfort that I have one seated at the right hand of God who has said, I am going to watch over your soul. I didn't express it tonight at the Lord's table, but I had a thought while we were remembering the Lord. My mind went to the story of Noah building the ark. The Word of God says that God told Noah to bring his wife and his children in, to bring the animals into the ark. And then it says, and God shut him in. God shut him in. And I turned over to Romans chapter 8. What shall separate us from the love of God? You and I are shut in. Part of the family. Part of the flock of God, purchased. Don't know whether you noticed in Acts chapter 20 how when he's speaking to the elders at Miletus, the apostle Paul says, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Listen to these words, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That is the immensity of the task, not only that the Lord has undertaken, but that he has submitted to those whom he calls the under shepherds. Now let's turn back. I'll put this away. There's a lot more I was going to read, and maybe I'll go back to it some other time. But let's go back to Psalm 23. For Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What is David saying? He's saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. You remember what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the Philippians? He said, I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is to have nothing. And then he reminds them, but my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We've already noticed over last week the words of Peter when he says that God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. But what does it mean for the Lord to make sure that we as his sheep have no want? Well, we have no want of spiritual food. Everything we are ever going to need to feed our souls is in this book. And you and I, and I know it's my own experience that the reason I suffer weaknesses, the reason I fail, the reason I have so much pain in my own life is because I don't come to this book nearly as often as I should. I was telling Bobby before the meeting, I was having a difficult time this week. It's the fifth anniversary of Graham's death. Friday morning I had a horrible time. I didn't even want to go into work. I went in, and before I did anything, I have a book on my desk, Spurgeon on the Prayers of Jesus. I opened it and began to read a prayer or a message on the prayer of Jesus where he says, not my will, but thine be done. I've read it before. But suddenly I saw the words on the page. I have a friend who lost a child. And he was wearing the garments of mourning years later. Spurgeon says, a Quakeress met him and said to him, "Sir, have you not forgiven God yet for taking your child?" I got up from my desk. I went over to my boss and I said, "I'll be back in 30 minutes. I drove to Graham's grave and I stood at the grave and I said, "Father, I have no anger in my heart. Your will is perfect." I want to tell you, it's not always easy to do that, but it's always best to do that. You see, that's one of the things that the Lord says, "The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, no matter what situation I find myself in, His grace is sufficient for me. My weakness is taken care of. His strength is made perfect in my weakness." Probably shouldn't tell this story when my wife is in the congregation, but when I was at Bible college, I was dating a young girl called Grace Noble. Diane knows that, but the night before I started my final exams, we had arranged that she would call me, and I went to the telephone, stood out in the cold, because I just knew that I was going to get words of encouragement before my finals. The phone eventually rang. I answered the phone, and she said, "Joe, I'm breaking up with you." I wept all night. I kid you not. I wept all night. I look back today and I thank God. I thank God for that telephone call. That's the truth. A young man said to me recently, "Things never seem to go right." And I said, "My, if I'd have done it my way, they'd all have gone wrong too." The Lord, David says of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And listen to this, he says, "He maketh me to lie down." I remember a Scottish preacher who was a shepherd. And I had the privilege of hearing him expounding on Psalm 23, and he said the most amazing words in Psalm 23 are those words, "He maketh me to lie down." He said the circumstances for a sheep must be perfect for a sheep to lie down. And something he said I've watched, and he said, when you drive past a field that has sheep in it, count how many of them are standing and how many of them are lying down. And he said, I will guarantee you that very few of them will ever be lying down. He said, you know what it takes? It takes one little pebble to stop a sheep from lying down. Takes one irritating little fly or bug, the sheep won't lie down. Just a little thing. And David says of his shepherd, David knew how hard it was to enable the sheep to lie down. And David says, "He maketh me to lie down." You know what that means? It means he is ordering and organizing every circumstance of my life. He is making all things work together for good so that I can rest in his presence and in his person. But listen, let's go back to "I shall not want." Psalm 84 verse 11 says, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 37 tells us that He will give us the desires of our hearts. Ephesians 1 tells us He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Philippians 3:19, I've already quoted, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What does that mean? What does it mean when it says He will give you the desires of your heart? First time I read that, I felt like sitting down and making a list of what I wanted. But that's not what it means. You know what it means? It means that when you recognize the Lord as your shepherd, and you're alone in His presence, and He's made everything right so that you're able to lie down and rest in His presence, it literally means He will put into your heart what your desires ought to be. Not that you make the decision of what the desires, but that He will draw so near to you, and He will draw you so near to Him, that He will give to you the very things that you ought to desire. "My God shall supply all your need." When I was first asked to go full-time in the ministry, I went into the presence of the Lord, and the Lord gave me Psalm 138 in the very last verse, and it says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth thee." That's David's testimony that God enabled David as the sheep to lie down. But look where He says He'll let you lie down. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He removes all fear. He removes all hindrances to the sheep lying down." Let me remind you of one thing, that sometimes the reason for the sheep not lying down is some of the other sheep. That's true. I wish it was the case that I'd never spoiled your peace, or said anything to upset you or hurt you, or done anything to upset you or hurt you, and that we've never done anything to each other, to hurt each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know, old Ma Robotham, who was at the college that I went to, said to me one day, and it was about Grace's telephone call, she said, "You know, Joe, often in my life I have been crucified, and often it has been my brothers and sisters that carried the nails for my crucifixion. Those who I expected not to hurt me were the very people who hurt me most." He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What does it mean? A place where my soul is going to be refreshed. You know what our problem is? Certainly my problem is, I get to going where I say, "Lord, I'm all right. I can do this on my own. And if I need you, I'll call you." And then I make a mess and I say, "Lord, can you get me out of it again?" And the Lord says, "Look, I'm the shepherd. You're the sheep. Left to yourself, the only thing you're ever going to do is go astray. Leave the pathway that I have for you." Soul refreshing, lying down in the presence of the Savior. Green means it's a place where there is living food. We have a living book. all the promises of the great shepherd to the sheep are contained in this wonderful book. Tell me, do you spend time in it? That's what he says, you know. He says, I'll make you to lie down in green pastures, in a place where you will be fed. In a place where you will be nourished. In a place where you will be refreshed. And the words of Scripture come to me where it says, ye have not, because you ask not. You don't experience it because you spend all your time being taken up with the hustle and bustle of this world. You get your eyes on the world and you take your eyes of the shepherd. And the shepherd looks down and says, I want to make you lie down. I want you to enjoy the fullness of my presence. I want you to enjoy the fullness of my provision. I want you to know that I really am your shepherd. I want you to know that I really do care. I want you to really know that when Peter is talking about the great shepherd and the chief shepherd, and he says, casting all your care upon him, that he really means what he says, for he careth for you. He shepherds you. He tends you. You know what happens to independent sheep? They get lost. You know, we so often can be like the sheep that wanders on its own. One day Jesus said to the disciples, in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of life, he said, come ye aside a little while. And do what? And rest. What's he saying? He's saying, look, I'm the shepherd and you're the sheep. Why don't you come and lie down in green pasture? Why don't you let me feed you and refresh you and bless you? Why don't you let me make you forget what's happening in the world around you? Why don't you let me lift your eyes to heaven and fix your eyes on the glory that is to come? We all suffer. We all have pains. I talked about Graham earlier. I was walking into a store in a place called Kendale in Sanford. Lady came up and put her arms around me. She said, you probably don't remember me, but you came to my home to minister to me with my nephew once. And I said, yes, I remember your face, but I don't remember your name. She said, well, I've been praying for you with regard to your son. I know how you feel. And when people said that to me at that time, I immediately thought, no, you don't. And then the lady looked at me and she said, my son was a week before his 18th birthday. He went to his best friend's 18th birthday and somebody gave him crack cocaine and it blew his mind. He's in hospital. In a padded cell. Every time I go to see him, and he looks out through the window of the cell, he begins to beat his head against the wall. And I went away from that conversation very humble, knowing that there were ways to lose a child that I had never dreamed of. Never dreamed of. But you know what she said? But the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. We wouldn't have got through the last 5 years had it not been for the Lord, who's the shepherd of the sheep. Pam gave us a book. Pam Kehoe. On the 18th day of the readings of that book, it begins, "Dear Lord, I thank you that you are sovereign." Many nights I have lay on the top of my bed with that book in my hand, and it didn't matter what the date was, I read the 18th. "Lord, I thank you that you are sovereign." The sovereign shepherd of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Tell me, is he yours tonight? Are you enjoying being cared for by the good shepherd who gave his life to make you his? I shall not want. All I need for life and all I need for eternity, my shepherd Savior has provided. And when I let him, he maketh me to lie down. And he feeds me on the very finest. He refreshes me. He blesses me. The words of the hymn, "Take time to be holy," come to my mind. Not with holiness in mind, but take time, beloved, to enjoy the shepherd who died to make you his own, who promises to be your shepherd from the cross until he comes again, or from the day you were converted until the day you enter heaven to meet him face to face. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be your shepherd. He's always going to have sufficient grace, whatever pathway he leads us down. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you for the words of the hymn writer who could say, "I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his will abide." Father, bless your word to us, we pray. Fix our eyes upon your Son in his lovely name. Amen.